Hello and welcome to Inbound Rally. I'm James.
And I'm Jennifer. Today on our show, we're doing something a little bit fun. We're talking about transit etiquette, and we're going to do our best not to get into any ranting. I promise. Well, I think. Well, we'll see how this goes. Maybe James can try not to complain how hard it is to ride a bicycle in hilly Raleigh. Right, James?
Well, I mean, I thought the whole point of today's episode was to sort of give us a chance to rant forever about little petty things that annoy us on the roads. And if we're going to be doing that, believe me, biking in Raleigh doesn't even crack my top 10 list in that regard. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Good. Well, I guess we're going to rant a little bit incoherently, but we'll try not to. So before we get to some etiquette, you're probably wondering, what the heck are we talking about this at all? But there's not a ton of transit ridership here, so why do we need to talk about etiquette? But I think it does apply to driving and other modes of transportation, not just public transit. And this is the holidays, and I don't know, people are grumpy, right? So this just seemed like a fun episode to have air over the holiday break. And this is the really most important reason. It means I get to use the word manspreading. You've heard about this, right, James?
Yes. It is pretty funny. So for those of you who missed it online, the MTA up in New York, I think that's what, Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York, did a series of, I guess, public service ads telling guys to stop man-spreading on the subway. I mean, I like that word about as much as I like the word mansplaining, but this is basically the way they sit in the seat with their legs spread out a bit. I actually get made fun of a lot, and by women, so, you know, whatever, but because I sometimes sit with my legs crossed, and I guess the implication is, I don't need the room between my legs or something like that, but it's ridiculous. And the whole concept of manspreading is sort of, in my opinion, one of those sort of insane, like, bizarre things that they just, I don't know, someone with an agenda makes up and it causes all this divisiveness. Whatever. No ranting.
Well, too late.
Yeah.
But the pictures are really funny. Have you seen, you know, the ads that they put up, these the public service announcement PSAs? And I don't know, I guess it really does happen. So if you're sitting in a subway car and there's not a lot of room and there's tons of people, which of course there are in New York, I bet it makes a difference on how many people can sit or stand. I wouldn't want to sit next to a guy who's, like, taking up, you know, two seats. But I should note that this campaign also had some other images, you know, images that called women out, like if they've got their elbows in people's faces while they're trying to do their makeup and some other courtesy things. But, of course, then there was some backlash about the whole thing in terms of how guys need to sit a certain way based on the size of their hips and all this, like, scientific, I don't know. The point is there's some courtesy that does go along with riding transportation, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even just walking on the sidewalk around town, one important piece of etiquette in my mind is the need to share the sidewalk. And I think what really kills me, because I tend to walk a little faster than most people because I have longer legs, is when folks will group up and basically block the entire pathway and refuse to adjust. I'm sorry, but if an entire group of people sort of lack enough situational awareness that they can't, you know, sense when someone's coming up behind them, or even if you're sort of coming up in front of them and they just see you and ignore you at a quicker pace, they just deserve to be plowed out of the way.
You're just going to run them over.
Yeah, I'll just run right through them. No problem.
Well, you'd think that would be normal, like people walking and say, oh, okay, I'm going to scooch over and share the sidewalk. But I do see this a lot walking around downtown. A lot of people just don't. They ignore you, force you to kind of hop into the grass, and you really hope someone's dog didn't leave a present right there, and then there's your shoes. It seems a little weird to me that you wouldn't just, like, single file and you know, right side of the road kind of thing. And it does have me appreciating the idea of larger sidewalks, which are required now by the city's UDO, so that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you were telling me something the other day about curb cuts.
Yeah, this one is a bit of a rant, sorry, but I never really thought about it before. And so this has me more aware. My dad was in a wheelchair for a while with a serious injury, and now I'm pushing a stroller a lot more. So I'm noticing that there's a bunch of pedestrians crossing the street somewhere downtown on foot. They don't always make room for people with strollers to use the curb cut, forcing me to, like, sort of jump the curb with the stroller, go off-roading or something. And I didn't shell out for one of those super fancy tricycle prams. Maybe I should have. Maybe it could handle the curb jump. Maybe my kid would really like that. I don't know. So I guess this isn't really that big a deal. I mean, this is a temporary situation I'm in, but the wheelchair thing, I mean, come on, people. Like, that's why the curb cut's there, for real. You know, get out of the way for the person in the wheelchair.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, sort of on a lighter note, I guess, like, sidewalks these days is people, you know, they have their heads down on their phones. You know, for a while it was playing Pokemon. Now maybe it's a different game. But try and look up a few times and watch out where you're going, because, you know, it's just as bad if you're doing that when you're walking as if you're driving, so.
Yeah. Well, and I might be that person sometimes. Maybe. Occasionally. I promise I'm working on it. What do you mean other game? Pokemon? Besides, what else?
Yeah. Well, there's a new Mario game out that's pretty terrible, but I guess
I'm not playing that. Okay.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about defensive walking?
Defensive walking. What is this, like a football play?
It could be. I'm not really that into football. You know, I didn't even know that Kobe Bryant's wife actually divorced him until yesterday. But I guess then they weren't divorced. I don't know. I don't follow that kind of stuff.
I don't think we're supposed to say this. We're in North Carolina.
Yeah.
This is like football heaven, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. We're going to lose all of our huge audience over this, probably, podcast gate or something.
Yes, all 10 of our listeners. Well, maybe except our moms. Oh, wait, mine doesn't actually listen.
Yeah, I don't think mine does either, or any of my friends.
Crap. Oh, well. We're in big trouble then. Anyway, digressing. You were saying about defensive walking.
Yeah, so one, I guess, slightly ranty thing we could talk about in terms of etiquette for pedestrians is respecting the street. And I'm not sure why, but there seems to be a lot of people who walk into the street without looking, or they are looking. Sometimes they'll look right at you as you're waiting to turn, and they'll just kind of slow down and stare at you as you're stuck in your car. It's like, well, I'm in a car, you're walking, I would win this fight. But and especially near me, Capitol Boulevard, sort of up north past 440, it's one of the worst places in the cities for this. It's a 6-lane, 45-mile-an-hour road where the cars are going like 60 miles an hour at least. And people just cross in the middle of the street and expect you to stop for them. And it's, you know, it's one thing to play Frogger with your life when the roads are empty, but at 6 in the morning when it's still dark out and there's a steady stream of cars coming, like, I don't know what you're thinking. I know what I'm thinking. It's too bad life isn't more like Grand Theft Auto.
Well, and, you know, we can make jokes about it, but it's seriously dangerous on Capitol Boulevard. People get killed there, pedestrians. I know the city's, you know, trying to work on it, but come on, you gotta, like, look before you Frogger. And I've definitely seen that. So another weird thing I see is how people, they are using the crosswalk. Great, I applaud it. I'm in the car and my light turns green and I'm like, and they decide to walk right then.
Yeah.
And I'm a pedestrian a lot, so I totally get it. Maybe they're trying to run for it. Maybe they didn't realize, but some of them, I swear they know. They just walk right across. Their walk sign is red. If your walk sign's red, make sure the cars aren't coming. That's all I'm saying. Some people just don't even seem to care. They just go for it and don't care that you just slammed on your brakes or, you know, had to wait. I mean, the lights are there, so we all take turns. I don't know. It just doesn't seem very cool to me.
Yeah, I have no problem with jaywalking, but just make sure there's no cars around. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
And speaking of driving, let's talk about that a little bit, because in Raleigh, driving is really the main way most people get around. Obviously, you know, every single one of us follows all the rules of the road, so I don't think anyone gets speeding tickets.
Yes, of course.
Right. But one thing I've noticed that's really helpful for downtown drivers is to not pull all the way up to the white line when you're making a left turn, because on downtown streets, which are pretty narrow, the buses have a really hard time turning, and they need a bit more room. So if you're turning left, you've got to sort of back up a bit if the bus comes around the corner, which is pretty terrifying the first time it happens to you, because you're sitting there, you're at the line, you're waiting to make a turn, and all of a sudden you see this gigantic bus coming right at you, and if there's someone behind you, you can't really back up, and I don't know, it's bizarre, and I don't know why they can't just move all the white lines back by about 10 to 15 feet for those left lanes, because they are usually set further back than the straight or right turn lane, but whatever.
Yeah. I think drivers should just kind of know, because you're right, they do set them back a few extra feet, but maybe it needs to be a bit more. I feel like some people get this. I've seen some drivers back up, you know, as they see the bus approaching, but then maybe they get stuck because there's another car behind them, and the car behind them is like, why is this dude got his reverse lights on? What are they doing? So I've seen buses get stuck. They just sit there with their big bus butts in the intersection, and then they can't move forward. I don't think our streets are going to get any wider, so I don't know. I guess it's just something drivers should do.
Yeah, I think we should trademark the phrase big bus butts.
Yeah, I'm going to send this in. This sounds like a song. Who sings that song?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I like
right.
Big bus butts, yeah. But speaking of cars and buses, it's also like people don't understand if you're in the right lane behind a bus, it's going to be stopping to pick up passengers. You said no rants, so I won't get into the huge hassle of meeting
I think we're well past that change.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm not going to right now get into the huge hassle of needing exact change or one of the prepaid transit cards to load onto the bus. And that usually jams things up. But loading a crowded bus stop, it can take a few minutes, which is an eternity in the driving world if you're trying to get somewhere and bus stops. And anything more than 30 seconds just seems like it's forever. So people will be tailgating a bus, it stops, and they think they can cut over in the left lane. I'm sorry, that's just not going to work.
Well, and people still try it. Well, and sometimes it does. I don't know. Occasionally people are nice, but maybe not in morning rush hour.
It's their fault.
Yeah. You just need to sit there and be patient and wait.
Yeah.
Mr. 30 seconds game.
Right.
Well, and speaking of lane changes, you know, turning in the correct lane might be a little bit of a transit etiquette thing. So I see this a lot at the corner of Edenton turning right onto McDowell Street, which, by the way, is no right turn on red, P.S. Anyway, so there's more than one turn lane, technically, but most people are in the right lane to turn right, but there's no lines painted through the intersection. So you're supposed to turn right into the right lane onto McDowell, but a lot of people will turn directly into the second lane, which is fine, except if someone is in the lane next to you, that one goes either straight or right, and then that person turns right, and he's kind of watch out and, you know, maneuver.
Yeah, it's confusing, but one thing I did, he's talking about McDowell Street, I was using Google Maps downtown the other day, and it pronounced McDowell as MC Dewell, which I thought was just really, it cracked me up, I don't know.
It is actually really
I actually put it on Twitter, and someone actually liked it, which is very rare for me.
Woo, validation.
Yeah. But another thing for downtowners to be aware of is people who are parallel parking, and this is, I think, a universal thing, but to parallel park, you know, we all are in driving school, you pull up to the car in front of the space, you want to back, and then you back into it. There's actually a great Seinfeld episode about this where George spent too long bragging about finding a great spot, and the guy behind him pulled into this space that he was going to parallel park into, but, you know, that was kind of George's fault. So, but if you're driving around downtown, you have to think there's a 50-50 chance that the person in front of you is searching for an open spot, so you got to give them some breathing room.
Yeah, and breathing room's the trouble, right? Like, we all tend to drive kind of close together.
Yeah.
I try to put my hazard lights on early to let someone know, but I think you're technically, I'm sure we learned this in school, I don't remember, you're supposed to use your turn signal.
I think so, yeah, but that confuses people. Cause
it does.
Yeah.
It's like, so wait, are you turning? It's not a good hint.
Right.
And it's awkward. So you've probably also been that person. Like if you're the driver who's parking and you don't use any lights, well, then the person who's driving behind you has no idea.
Right.
Like, why did the person stop? Are they trying to figure out, are they lost? Are they looking at their phone, playing Pokemon, trying to catch something? So I think this one's a courtesy on both sides. Like, if you're the driver trying to park, use your lights. But, hey, give people in front of you a little bit of room to figure things out downtown.
Yeah, and you know, talking about turn signals, they seem to be kind of optional around here anyway. And maybe this is just something I've noticed as I've gotten older. But it seems like, at least around here, people do not like to use their turn signals. I hardly see anyone using them, no matter if it's on the highway or on the regular streets or anything. And it makes no sense. I don't know if people are not, if this is not being enforced or if people just don't care. And it's sort of the same way I assume downtown drivers are cruising around looking for street parking. I assume people on the roads want to change lanes without signaling. So I always, if I see someone in the lane next to me, I just assume they're trying to cut in front of me without signaling. And there is a bit of justification, I guess, for this, which is that sometimes when you do flip on your turn signal, people in the lane you're trying to merge into will speed up and block you from entering. But, you know, that doesn't happen as often as people not signaling, so I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
Wow, people just block you from entering. I mean, it's just like, calm down, people, we're all trying to get somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not a race.
There's some psychology behind, like, sitting in the driver's seat and how you treat other people, because you don't feel like they're people. You say,
right,
they're
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, they're contestants.
And, yeah, Leo and I have talked about this a little bit. It does kind of make me laugh, but the whole turn signal thing, yeah. They sometimes they'll enter a left turn lane and turn on their signal after they're already in the left turn lane. It's like, well, duh,
yeah.
Okay, that's not really helpful.
Yeah, that's very useful.
But this is totally ranty, so.
Yeah, I was about to say, weren't you the one who said the rants?
Yeah, whoops. Well, I can turn, you know, one thing I can rant about is people turning left on Glenwood from P Street, because this is actually illegal, and
yeah.
I have seen people do it all the time, and you can't even figure out why they would, because it doesn't even feel comfortable.
No, because you can't really see over that
you
crest.
Can't, yeah. I was with someone who did this once. It scared the crap out of me, and I'm in the right side passenger, so I'm like, I'm the one who's going to get hit if
things
go
badly.
Like, please don't do this. I don't think she realized it. No, there's no turning left there, people. Just, you know, turn right, figure it out, go take West Street.
Yeah, and there's a giant sign that says no left turns, but, you know,
yeah.
that whole intersection's a mess. Not just the left turn ones, but, like, sort of the lack of signage warning people that after you cross under that P Street bridge that a lot of trucks get caught on, the right lane becomes right turn only, because it's two lanes, and it basically becomes one lane for people going straight, and you know, it just doesn't make any sense. I've missed a lot of lights because of all the cars that get stuck in that right turn only lane have to cut over into that middle lane, and it's just a mess. And speaking of that, I wonder how the no left turns downtown at night is working out. We should ask someone about that.
Yeah, because they implemented that, earlier this year, I think. And
yeah.
I'm not out as much at 1 o'clock in the morning as I used to be, so somebody has to go out there and report back to me on how that's working out. You do that, James.
Yeah, I'll get right on that, sure.
One last car thing. This is kind of ranty, but it's not that big a deal, and that's high beams, and this occurred to me because the other day this happened. I don't really see it that often, but driving along, and a car driving in the opposite direction has his or her high beams on, and you're just like, really? I mean, first of all, they're really super bright, and in my eyes, and second, it's a city. There's lights all over the place. Do you really need your high beams?
Yeah, how much are they really helping? you know, there, I'll admit there was a brief period one of my headlights was out and I was too lazy to get it fixed, so I just used my high beams 24/7, and you know, it was pretty obnoxious, but it's not as bad as those halogen lamps that were pretty popular a few years ago.
I think they've, I don't know if the law changed things. I don't know. I haven't seen them
in a long while, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just don't use my high beams unless I'm in visiting family. They live in rural Ohio. Like, it's the middle of a cornfield, in the middle of nowhere. There's, like, no lights for miles except that one on the barn 2 miles away that you can barely see. And you need high beams out there because you're going to hit a deer if you go around a curve.
Right.
So it's important. But I don't know. It just seems weird to have them on in the city.
Yeah, so city drivers really need to lay off the high beams. Now, we should definitely talk about bus etiquette as well. And, you know, any people with the Raleigh or Triangle Transit systems out there should definitely write to us about this. We'd love to hear your input, but I think some of the basic etiquette in life applies on a bus, right? Like, don't cough or sneeze all over people. Don't spill food or drinks. Keep your nasty shoes off the seat, that kind of thing. For me, I just don't like sitting close to people because the seats are pretty small and you're really crammed in there, and it makes me very uncomfortable. So I usually just stand. There's a little space sort of by the back exit. If you've ever ridden in the bus, there's an exit on the side towards the back. And that's a nice little space for one person, but sometimes people will come stand next to me anyway, and I just want to tell them, look, I'm standing back here so I don't have to be close to anyone. Just go take one of the empty seats in the back. I don't care if you go sit next to someone. I'm trying to avoid that.
What are you, claustrophobic or something?
Hey, yeah. On those buses sometimes, yes.
Well, if you just got off work, James does a little bit of construction work, so maybe nobody wants to stand next to you anyway because you need a shower.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, along with the whole life etiquette, you know, people with huge bags. And I admit, I have done this once or twice, but you, because I carry a backpack, you know, watch out, you don't bump into somebody with that thing. I haven't had that happen on buses, but definitely on subways, traveling to other cities, you know, you get kind of packed into those cars and you're like, you know, whatever. Oh, you mentioned food. Are you allowed to eat on the bus? I thought that we couldn't do that. I'm sure it happens anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's been a while since I've actually ridden the bus, but I think they're, you know, they have that sign in the front with all the things with the red lines through it. It's like a boom box.
Yeah.
Soda cup, and I think a hot dog is one of them.
Right. So no hot dogs.
Yeah, no hot dogs on the buses. Anything else, you fair game, but hot dogs, no dice. But people do eat anyway. They drink, too. Actually, there was one time I was forced to sit next to someone, and this is why I try to avoid it, on a bus coming out of downtown, and the lady next to me offered me a hit off her flask. I mean, it was bizarre.
Hey, she was being courteous.
Yeah, you know, I guess that is courteous. Yeah, if you brought some for yourself, share it with the class.
That's right, that's right. She's got her kindergarten down pat.
Yeah. who knows? And you know, one other courtesy thing, and we touched on this earlier, is you have to have your fare ready to go when you get up to the box when you're getting on the bus. Putting money in definitely slows things down. I mean, if one person has to dig for some quarters, fine, but if three people do it, it really does make a difference because it's like 30, 40 seconds added onto the stop each time. And if you're sitting in the back of the bus and you got somewhere you need to be, you're like, oh, great, it's another 5 minutes that I'm being delayed. So, you know, that's one thing I like about the idea of the bus rapid transit is paying in advance, which you can do now. You can go ahead into Moore Square and you buy those little prepaid tickets and it's really convenient, but paying in advance is really a good idea.
Right. And you talk about 30, 40 seconds and people out there might be like, well, God, you guys are so impatient, but think about it. Our attention spans now are 8 seconds. Research shows. And you know, when you're trying to go somewhere, it does feel like a long time. So, I wonder if noise is ever a problem on the bus here. I don't expect it to be a huge deal, but I, you know, here and there when traveling, I've noticed this. I was riding a subway once in Australia and a woman was playing music on her cell phone. And this was a few years back, I guess. I mean, earbuds were around, but she didn't have any earbuds or headphones.
Yeah.
And an older couple next to her was like, hey, can you turn that down, please? And she's like, don't tell me what to do. And the old guy actually stood up and like looked around for a security guard. And he's like, oh, there's never a guard around when you need one. And I really wish I could imitate an Australian accent because it'd be so much better.
Good
but
yeah.
No, that was terrible. Anyway, she never turned it down. But the couple, you know, they departed a few stops later. So I guess it didn't really matter.
Yeah, well, in my experience around here, at least, the drivers are pretty good about shaming people into turning down their music. You know, we'll turn around and say, shut up or turn that down or something. And a lot of times people are using these really low quality headphones and they'll turn the volume all the way up to sort of compensate for that. Mm. And so, of course, everyone within a sitting radius then can hear that, and they almost always have terrible taste in music, which is the real problem.
Oh, of course, because you have the only correct
you should see what my Spotify most played songs of the year were. It's very embarrassing.
Okay, so. Well, we'll talk about that in another episode, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about bicycles, your favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do feel like most cyclists are pretty courteous. You know, it's almost a defensive move to be courteous, because when it comes to a bike versus car, obviously the car is going to win out.
Oh, yeah. And I think about that a lot when I'm riding my bike. I mean, if a car is going to be a jerk, well, fine. I'm just going to, you know, do my thing real carefully over here and watch out. Because you're a car and I'm a bike and it's not going to go well for me. But this is also an educational thing because I think a lot of car drivers still don't realize that bikes are supposed to be on the road, not on the sidewalk. And I've heard from a few more hardcore cyclist friends of mine who are on, like, serious roads that they've had people throw things at them and yell at them. And I'm like, what? Terrible. But I do get a bit irritated with some cyclists when they are on the sidewalk because they take up a lot of space and, hey, as a pedestrian, man, you're going to run me over. It's the same deal.
Yeah, so do you see that a lot? Or
Not a ton. Maybe a bit more about around NC State, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, Western's pretty scary. I wouldn't want to ride my bike on that road anyway.
Yeah.
But one thing I do as a cyclist that probably is a little bit rude, but hey, again, you know, defensive cycling,
right.
is I tend to cruise through stop signs if no one's coming because my thought is, well, okay, the cars have it pretty easy. You just have to put a little pressure on the gas pedal and a little pressure on the brake. You can be right off again, no problem. As a cyclist, if you have to fully stop, you have to, like, get your momentum and push off and keep going. Raleigh, as we've noted, is a bit hilly, especially some of these intersections. You know, it's kind of a pain. So if I'm riding around somewhere with stop signs at the intersections, I might just kind of, you know, look ahead both ways and just keep going. I don't know if drivers who see that think, oh, what, you know, what an annoying, discourteous cyclist. I have no idea.
Well, you know, in my mind, I do see that happen a lot. And I think, hey, if you cyclists want us to obey the rules and, you know, share the road, which, you know, we don't always like doing because cyclists are, even the good ones are, you know, you're going, what, 20 miles an hour max?
Not me. Yeah. I'm slower than that, for sure.
Exactly. That's why we don't like sharing the road. But then you have to play by those same rules. But honestly, I don't really care because I'd do the same thing if I was on a bike. It's sort of a free-for-all. Like you said, defensive cycling. You just do whatever's safe and whatever's best for you. And stopping can be a hassle and it might even be more dangerous. So,
yeah, I think so. Well, what about you? Any bicycle etiquette notes?
Lights, maybe, I guess. As we all know, I don't ride a bike much. So as a driver, I find it really helpful if a cyclist has extra lights, reflective stuff, you know, whatever they can do to make themselves more visible. So it's easier for me to be one of those people who throws things at them. Just kidding about that. But if you're wearing jeans and a black sweatshirt and riding at night or even 4:30 in the afternoon, now that it's dark early, it's pretty hard to see you.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And it actually is a law now. I think I tweeted about this from our account. But bicyclists need to be using lights at night on both the front and the back. And the law says that it's supposed to be visible from 300 feet away. So I guess check the specs on your lights and make sure that's true.
Yeah.
If you don't have the lights, you're supposed to be in reflective clothing, and this law took effect December 1st. If you're broke and maybe you just don't want to pay for a light, the city has a coupon that'll help you buy some. I don't know how big the discount is, but I'm going to link to that in our show notes if people want to check that out. I'm kind of curious to see if the stores or the city is tracking how much this coupon gets used. I think that'd be really interesting data.
That would be interesting, because I would imagine that, you know, it's a code that gets keyed in somewhere and they have to send it back to the city for a refund. So that might be like a public records request worth looking into, actually. And another thing, because we've mostly been focusing on driving on the normal roads around Raleigh, but right now I've been commuting out to Durham in the mornings on 440 and 40, and I come back on 540. And even though 540 has a higher max speed limit, people actually drive slower on it. And I don't know, people are going 70 miles, which is the speed limit, in the left passing lane. And people in the middle and right lanes are generally going even slower. So even when there's not a lot of traffic, you're just sort of stuck. Because I don't know why. I don't know why you would go the speed limit in the left lane. It doesn't make any sense to me. The left lane is for the people that like to take a bit of a risk and maybe go 80, 85, 90 miles an hour. Whereas on 40, the limit is 65. And if you're not going 80 in the left lane, someone's going to be riding right on you. And, you know, that's fine because the left lane is for fast drivers. But if on 540, it seems like people sort of enjoy taking a more leisurely approach, which I just don't understand. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's a road design thing. I mean, there are road designs specifically intended to slow people down because they're more narrow, for example. Like Morgan Street as you're coming in. Everybody slows down right there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right by Blunt. I don't know. That's interesting. Well, we've been ranting a lot, so I did want to also include some comments people had to say about things they love about transit. So I did ask for some on social media. I didn't get a huge response because, you know, we broke 100 followers on Twitter.
All right.
But still, you know, out of 100, like one person said, hey, here's what I love about transit. And that was the praise of the Wi-Fi. on the Go Triangle bus. The tweet said, quote, "My commute helps me relax and catch up on work. I don't think many commuters can say that." And I think that is definitely true. I am driving way more than I used to and way more than I'd like to be. An unfortunate amount of that is on I-40 in that crawly section.
Yeah.
And I've almost been rear-ended several times now, and it is really scary. Relaxing? No, no, not even close, not any way, shape, or form. I've started taking, avoiding that section. Now I'm taking Western a lot more, especially now the students are gone. It's a little more quiet that way anyway.
Yeah, and I think they were just starting to implement the Wi-Fi on the buses when I used to ride them, and it is really nice to be able to, you know, play on your phone and not have to use up data. Or if you, I think back then I didn't even have an iPhone, I had an iPod Touch, so I needed the Wi-Fi to sort of, yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, you and I are exposing ourselves as non-common bus riders, but my current route is just not, it's just not feasible. I checked. But,
yeah, I did too, and it's hard to get out to Durham by 6 a.m. on the bus, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, hopefully with the new routes and times we'll be able to change that, but, and as my schedule changes. So that's our show today. We hope you had fun listening to us talk etiquette/rant. I think Emily Post might be proud. You can check out our notes and links mentioned in this episode. They're going to be on our website. That's inboundraleigh.com. And also, we'd love to hear your feedback about your ideas for topics, any specific transit or transportation rants or thoughts you have. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And our handle there, of course, is inboundraleigh.
Yeah, and don't forget that our show airs first on Little Raleigh Radio, a nonprofit whose goal is to make sure Raleigh's voices are heard. They provide all of our recording equipment and the studio, and we really appreciate that help. So a big thank you to them, as always. And you can support us and other great shows by donating $5 a month at littleraleighradio.org. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.